بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, or mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah created this dunya. He is the controller of this dunya. He is the creator of this dunya. He is the nourisher, cherisher. He is the mudabbir. Everything is within His power, His control, His mashi'at, His desire. Nothing functions in this world without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even a small ant, not even a small particle can move or even remain stationary or do anything without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has created this dunya and Allah has kept us into this dunya. And Allah has mentioned to us in the Quran in several places that this dunya will come to an end. So He created it. He can do what He wishes, whenever He wishes. So He has given this dunya a time to exist and to function, and then there will come an end, and Allah Ta'ala will destroy this entire world. Likewise, Allah has created the Akhirat, in which there is Jannat, may Allah give us Jannat, and in which is Jahannam, may Allah protect us from Jahannam. So He created dunya and He created Akhirat. He has created Jannat, He has created Jahannam. He is the controller of the Akhirat, everything is His power, His control. But Allah has mentioned to us in several places in the Quran that the hereafter, whether the person is in Jannat or Jahannam, it will be khalidina fiha abada. Forever and ever and ever. Dunya life is temporary, akhirat life is perpetual. Allah has placed us into this dunya to test us. لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah has created various things in the dunya for our benefit, for us to exist, so for us to function properly, so that we may be able to have that energy, etc., to worship Allah Ta'ala correctly, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, and to gain His pleasure. But all these things in the dunya that Allah has created also will come to an end, and they are not the objective of our life. They are just there to assist us in seeking the akhirat, which is our ultimate goal and ultimate purpose and our aim and direction, and that is the journey towards which we are moving. So what Allah wants us in this world to gain His rida, to gain His pleasure. Allah does not want us to disobey Him. So this is the test we are going through. Each second, each moment of our life, we are going through this test. And the test will only terminate at the time of maut. When maut strikes, then the test of the dunya is over. Now we move to a new realm. There's the alam of barzakh, the grave, the qabr, and then akhirat. So the test is only till we live in this world or till dunya exists. So Allah wants to see us performing good actions. Allah knows our weaknesses because Allah created also shaitan, iblis, and Allah rejected him. Allah threw him from Jannah. And he is mardood, he is la'een till the day of qiyamah. So Allah has mentioned in the Quran that shaitan is our open enemy. And he is going to try to entice us, lure us, tempt us, to do those things that will gain Allah's displeasure and not His pleasure. So shaitan wants to mislead us. This is his entire day and night worry and fikr to mislead mankind, to send mankind to Jahannam. He does not want to go to Jahannam alone. He wants many people to come into Jahannam with him. So he is not there to see to our well-being. Shaitan is not a nasih. He is not a well-wisher. He wishes evil for us. He is gharoor. He deceives us. So shaitan, on the day of qiyamah, when the people in Jahannam will go to him, he will say very clearly that I didn't compel you. I just directed you. You followed me. So don't blame me now. Blame yourselves. This is shaitan. Allah says he is khadula. At the time when you need his help, he will abandon you. He won't be able to assist you. So shaitan makes promises to mankind, but he will break all those promises. And then we have nafs. And this is the desires that Allah Ta'ala has placed, and we mentioned many, many times the different stages of the nafs. nafs ammara, lawwama, and mutma'inna. So here, the nafs that Allah has kept between ourselves, that is also a test for us in this world. It is an impediment, is a challenge for us not to follow the dictates and the desires, the evil desires of this nafs. So one is shaitan, and Allah has promises that the person who seeks protection in Allah Ta'ala from shaitan, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. You seek genuine protection in Allah from shaitan, and you obey Allah Ta'ala's commandments, you follow Sirat Mustaqim, you follow the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah Ta'ala sent to us as Rahmatul Alameen, his beautiful sunnats, and with that Allah sent down the Quran, a guidance, a shifa, a hidayat, nur for us. We've got Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, the Quran which he brought into his life. We've got both these things for us to follow. And Allah says, لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. So nafs and shaitan, these are two challenges. If we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not live a life of ghaflat, then we'll easily overcome the hurdles of shaitan. But nafs will keep on prompting us. So this is a question that everybody asks. Then what do I do? It's my nafs always pulling me toward evil, and I can't resist the temptation. I want to stay away from that haram pleasures that I'm enjoying, that illicit relationship with that woman. But every time it's my nafs that's overpowering me, and I just succumb to my nafs. So we look for some type of excuse. Ulama and mashayikh have given a very simple solution to overcome our nafs. Nafs will attract us, it will seduce us, it will tempt us, it will keep on attracting us. We have to subjugate our nafs. Remember, this is the lesson tonight. Subjugate our nafs. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Obviously, a person who wants Jannah, and how you get Jannah? By pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will Allah be pleased? By you obeying Allah and refraining from every of those things that displeases Allah Ta'ala. If a person committed a sin, he makes tawbah, istighfar, again he gains the pleasure of Allah. So you want Jannah? That is how you get Jannah, by when Allah becomes pleased with you. Then you have, how do you get the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? By being obedient to Allah Ta'ala and refraining from all type of sins. Now how do you refrain from sins? This is the test we have. And this is the challenge, that is to subjugate our nafs. We have become enslaved by our nafs. So every moment of our lives, wherever we are, whoever we may be, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ نَفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This nafs keeps on prompting us towards evil, 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 besides that person whom Allah has mercy upon. So we got to subjugate this nafs. We have to control the nafs. You have to become the master of the nafs, not the slave of the nafs. And for this, we require mujahada, mujahada, mujahada. We have to oppose the nafs. A simple example, especially in this time now, the students in the varsities and colleges and schools have written examinations. And I think most of them may be over with examinations. Now for them to be successful in the examinations, they had to burn the midnight oil, they had to make big, big sacrifices. Normally they would go out with their friends and various other occasions and events. But when they were studying for exam, especially the last few days before the paper, then they were prepared to oppose the demands of their nafs. The nafs perhaps is putting them towards some attraction. The nafs may be saying that, no, this you can study later. You've got ample time to study before the paper. Why don't you just go out with your friends? The nafs will pull them towards the futile activities which normally they would very easily go to. But here the student says to himself, no. He addresses his nafs and he opposes his nafs. He says, no, I will not obey you. I have to learn. So he will be disciplining himself. And he will make sure he opposes his nafs, and he has to sit and study so that he may pass his examination. Now this discipline, this opposing the nafs, this mujahada is what we require in our lives. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions that Islah, we want Islah, manana make dua, get my Islah comes, right? Islah comes. Everybody says that. But we're not genuine. It just become a word saying. We've heard ulama mentioning islah, islah. Mawlana, make dua, my islah takes place. We're not sincere. If a person is genuine, he wants his islah, then the mujahada will come in his life. But when there's no mujahada, then a person will become so accustomed to sins and evil, like casting lustful glances, or in illicit relationship, or taking drugs, or alcohol, or riba, or whatever haram pleasures he's enjoying himself with. He becomes stooped into those evil to such an extent that those evil sins, those sins become embedded in his life, deep rooted in his life. As the Tanya Ramadullah says, when a person is planting a new tree, very easily, if he wishes to remove the tree and plant it somewhere else, very easily he'll be able to remove it. Why? Because the roots are not firm. Just planted it now. It's still new. It's not firmly embedded into the ground. It's not entrenched into the soil. So he just one pull and it is out. But that tree, which for years, or for a long period of time, the roots have now gone into the soil, entrenched, it is solid, it is embedded, it is fixed, it becomes hard. Now you try and pull the tree, it's difficult. You need much, much sacrifice and effort to remove the tree. In a similar way, those gunas which have become part and parcel of our life, Allah forgive us. Now to refrain and just to take that out from our life, to purge our hearts of those sins becomes very, very difficult. And the more embedded the sin is, the more mujahada we have to apply. A person wakes up early in the morning, he goes out for his halal rozi. But what is it that makes him wake up in the morning and he has to rush and he catches the bus or the taxi or he gets the lift or he goes by car? And sometimes the job, the office or wherever the factory is far. He goes early in the morning, the entire day he's slogging, he's working, comes back in the evening, hardly has any time with his family, friends and people. And again he has to go back. What is it making him go? He needs his rozi. So that rozi is his goal. That will make him oppose his nafs. The nafs will tell him, take it easy today. You don't have to go to work. Why don't you relax at home? Why don't you just take off? But he'll say, no, I need to go. Especially if the person has a factory or something and he needs to sort out the machinery. And if he does not produce the work, then he won't be able to sell those goods and those goods won't be produced and he'll be at a loss. So again, the mujahada he's applying, he's going against his nafs, he's opposing his nafs. The nafs is pulling towards some leisure, pleasure, comfort, but he is saying no to it. And this is what is required, that we have to oppose our nafs. And to oppose the nafs, so we have understood now, that we have to oppose the nafs. To oppose the nafs, a person has to have himmat. This is something for us to now understand, memorize, and bring into our lives. We have to have himmat. Himmat means the willpower, the determination, the very, very strong courage, the resoluteness. So the person has that firm determination, that himmat, that even if my life is going to go away, I'm still not going to slip into that sin. That woman is there, she's ready, inviting me. There's nobody watching me. I've got every chance to commit that zina. Or that man is inviting me. I've got every chance to commit zina. At that moment, he and she, they have to apply himmat. Full determination. And turn the gaze only to Allah. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is trapped in the palace. Every chamber, every door is locked. Zulaikha had shut it. There's no way for him to escape, but he's going. What does he say? He said, Ma'ad Allah. I seek Allah's protection. When a person turns genuinely to Allah, and you make dua to Allah, and you take those first steps of himmat in your life, then very easily, Allah will help you to overcome the dictates of the nafs, the temptation of the nafs. Initially it's a bit difficult, as I mentioned, because the sin is deep rooted into our lives, but then Allah helps us. Allah assists us. So what happened? The doors just opened, became wide open, and Yusuf alayhi salam was able to escape, and he got saved. So like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we take those firm steps of himmat in our lives, himmat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create nur in our hearts. Allah will make us come out of a life of ghaflat into a life of dhikr and dhakir and Allah consciousness. Yes, we may slip again, but Allah will give us the tawfiq of now realizing and making tawbah istighfar. A person now when he commits sin, he'll feel ugly, He'll feel terrible. He'll feel the evilness of the sin. Previously he didn't feel anything. Now he feels terrible. He feels nadamat. He feels the pain. He feels the regret. And he'll make tawbah istighfar immediately. He'll come away to the masjid. He'll cry. He'll make tawbah istighfar. He'll engage in ibadat to make him feel nice. And this Allah brings serenity into the heart then. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then guides the person. Allah ta'ala grants him now taqwa. So now he is gaining spiritual strength. But if he is not going to oppose his nafs, his spirituality will become weaker, 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 weaker. Until his heart, his spiritual heart becomes dead, dead. Simple example which I have mentioned many times before. You have a boxing match. You are fighting your opponent. If you are not going to throw some punches against him, and you are just going to collect from him, and he's going to keep on punching you, and each time you drop in your guard, you are going to become weaker and weaker until you fall down. And you will lose the match. But if you take that himmat, you take the courage, and now you throw punches onto your opponent, and you watch his move, and you catch him unaware, and you are fighting, and you are vigilant, and you are watching. So in the same way, a person has to be now vigilant over his nafs, and he has to throw those punches against his nafs, he has to oppose his nafs, and he has to make his nafs weaker. Each time you're going to oppose your nafs is desiring something nice or some temptation which is haram, and you're opposing it, you're actually weakening the nafs. And each time you're going to do this, the nafs will become weaker and weaker and weaker until you begin to have control over the nafs. Now the nafs has become your slave, you the master. But if you become weaker and you allow the nafs, that is your opponent, to keep on throwing punches at you, and you will become weaker and weaker until the nafs will overpower you. So simple. Just think of this example, and we have to now gain the spirituality. How? By gaining himmat to oppose our nafs. And once we have this taqwa, that Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us, Allah will make plans and excuses and ways to protect us. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who fears Allah, if he's caught in any situation, whether he's traveling abroad, whether he's at home, local, in the office, or at school, or wherever he may be, and that nafs is now again trying its tricks to tempt you, Allah's divine help comes. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Allah's rahmat comes. And Allah gives you the tawfiq of now combating your nafs easily. Why? Because the noor of taqwa comes into play. Allah has given you taqwa, spiritual strength. I mentioned previously, some time ago, there was a person, a tabi'i, Ubayd bin Umair, rahmatullahi alayhi, very, very, very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the time engaged in ibadah, and he was a muttaqi person. So he was living in a town, and in the town there was a woman, married to her husband. They were not pious people. They lived a normal life, casual life of ghaflat. But this woman was extremely beautiful. Extremely beautiful. So one day, as she is combing her hair in the mirror and preening herself, and she admires herself and she's looking into the mirror, and then she tells her husband, "Do you think is any person who will escape my enticing him when he looks at my beauty? Is there any person who will not get caught if I have to show him my beauty? He won't become attracted to me. He'll be able to resist me and not fall into my temptations." The husband said, "Yes, I know one person, a real wali of Allah, Ubayd bin Umair." She says, "Okay, what if I try and seduce him?" He says, "Go ahead." They were not pious people. Allah forgive us. It's happening today also. The husband has become a cuckold. He allows his wife to flirt with any person, to chat with any person, the cell phone or WhatsApp messages. And how many nikahs have come to an end? How many nikahs? Nevertheless, it's another topic on its own. Here, he allows his wife, so she goes. Ubayd bin Umair is a very pious person. He has his dars, and she comes to him. She says, "Sheikh, I need to speak to you." She has covered her face. "I've got some important masala to ask you, and in private, in privacy." So he moves aside when no person was there then. And as she comes on the side with him, suddenly she unveils herself. She removes the parda. And she was extremely beautiful, and the accidental gaze falls on her. But the moment this happens, see, this is taqwa. When taqwa comes into play now, Allah's divine mercy is going to help you. The moment he saw her accidentally, he turned his gaze away. He lowered his gaze. Then she tells him, "Have you not seen my beauty?" And then she says that, "I wish to satisfy my desires with you. I have fallen in love with you." She just makes a story. She tries to deceive him and show her husband that she was able to do this. Ubayd bin Amir, rahmatullah, says, "Okay, no problem, no problem." So she thinks now she is now gaining some dominance and she is going to be successful in her plan and her ploy. He says, "But before I allow you to do this, just answer a few questions if you would please." She said, "Yeah, no problem." He says, "Tell me, if at this moment when I am going to allow you to fulfill your desires, if Malakul Maut suddenly appears, is ready to extract your ruh and pull out your ruh, will you still fulfill your desires with me?" She says, "Never." Then he says, "Okay, if you are being placed into the qabr, Munkar and Nakir are there now to question you. At that moment, you are still going to give me a chance to fulfill my desires with you?" She says, "Never." Now as he is speaking to her and giving her these logical explanations, slowly her nafs is becoming weaker. The barakah of this Shaykh Ubayd bin Umayr rahmatullah was a real muttaqi person, and this is taqwa. Allah brings the makhraj and exit for the person. Allah helps the person. And it also has an effect on the other person. Then he says, "Okay, you're crossing Pul Sirat. And suddenly there you are, I'm there, and now you want to satisfy yourself. Will you do that?" She says, "No, never, never, I go cross Pul Sirat." Like that he asked her about different places on the day of Qiyamah. When your amal be weighed, at that moment you're watching whether your good deeds are going to outweigh your bad deeds, or your bad deeds going to outweigh your good deeds. At that time, will you fulfill your desires with me, make haram, or you commit zina? She says, "Never." Okay, you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pass all the other stages, but now you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment, you'll make zina with me? She says, "Never." Her entire life changed. She goes back home now as a woman who has got taqwa in her. As a ta'iba, she makes such a tawbah that her husband would say then that Ubayd bin Umayr, I don't know why I sent my wife to her. He changed her whole life now. Now she's gone as a buzurg, as a wali of Allah. My respected brothers and elders, we also go through various circumstances in our lives, in the corporate world especially, and now in the study season, in the holiday time, we'll be traveling or we're going somewhere with the family. A person becomes relaxed. And when he becomes relaxed, that himmat also is not as strong as he normally has that himmat. So we have to be on guard. Again, think. Allah is testing us. Allah wants us to gain Jannah by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, we have to make sure we don't follow the footsteps of shaitan and we don't fall and become slaves of our nafs. We have to oppose our nafs. And to oppose our nafs, a person must have himmat and courage. So the very first thing is a person must oppose his nafs by making himmat, and with that, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abundant dhikrullah, abundant dhikrullah. This is the polish of the heart. This is the fuel and the food and the nourishment of the spiritual soul. This will charge the souls, dhikrullah. And ulama have said, think of maut. Think of maut in abundance. Why? Maut is the terminator of all pleasures. Whatever pleasure a person is enjoying, maut strikes, whether you're a billionaire counting your money, it comes to an end. Whether you're having a holiday and a vacation, it comes to an end. Whether you're eating some nice food, it comes to an end. Whatever you're enjoying, maut is a hazimul ladhat. It is the terminator of all pleasures. So they say, think of maut in abundance. Why? It will help you now to stay away from sins and oppose your nafs. So how do you oppose your nafs? Number one, have himmat, courage. You must be, have the firm resolution that you're going to oppose your nafs. Make zikrullah. In other words, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah, istighfar, dua, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. and think of more in abundance. And one more thing ulama have mentioned, that do not get caught into futile actions. Why? Futile actions, again, it gives the nafs strength, it makes the nafs stronger, and it makes the spirituality weaker. We may not understand this, but as we see Allah protect us, as I said, in the holiday season, we somehow get caught into futile things. When that happens, then we're actually giving strength and we're making the nafs stronger and we're making our taqwa weaker. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Misad Durus Sharif. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 الله, الله
Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, laka shukru kulluhu, la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma ya awwal al-awwalin, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, wa ya dhal quwwati al-mateen, wa ya rahim al-masakin, wa ya arham al-rahimin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin, wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, before maut strikes us, Ya Allah, before maut comes upon us, my Allah, grant us your true ma'rifat, your muhabbat, your razamandi, Ya Allah, your pleasure, my Allah. Allah, forgive us for every sin we committed, my Allah. Allah, days are going by, my Allah. Ya Allah, life is coming to an end, my Allah. And still we haven't connected to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, then we have wasted our lives in this dunya, my Allah. Then we have failed in this dunya miserably, my Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. You are too kind, my Allah. You are too merciful, my Allah. You are wasi'ul maghfira, my Allah. You love to forgive, my Allah. You know our weaknesses, my Allah. You know how nafs and shaitan, ya Allah, they've ganged us against us, my Allah. Ya Allah, and we just succumb to nafs and shaitan. Forgive us, my Allah. Give us that himmat and that courage, my Allah, to oppose and make muqabala for our nafs, my Allah, to make that mujahada, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us enjoy every step towards you, my Allah. Make us enjoy that mujahada, my Allah. Ya Allah, make that journey towards you become so easy, my Allah, and full of happiness and ecstasy, my Allah, and enjoyment. Ya Allah, let maut come to us in the condition you are most pleased with us, my Allah. Make us become successful in dunya, qabr and akhirat, my Allah. Give us that kamiyabi, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Ya Allah, give us the sweetness of iman, my Allah. Give us the sweetness of ibadat, my Allah. Sweetness of tilawat of the Qur'an Majeed, my Allah. Sweetness of sajda, my Allah. The sweetness of dua and begging from you, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our hajat, ya Allah. Allah, we are sitting here tonight, my Allah. We have raised our hands, ya Allah. Mothers and sisters and others at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, we've got some hope only in you, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our hajat and needs. Ya qadhi al-hajat, ya dafi al-baliyat, ya hal al-mushkilat. اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين إلا give us the best of dunya, best of akhirat. Allah, protect us from all shurur and fitan, ya Allah. Protect us from the shar of the shirin, from the fitna of the fitin, hasr of the hasidin, zulam of the zalimin.
Ya Allah, from the mujrimeen, Ya Allah, from all evil people, my Allah. Keep us in good company, my Allah. Keep us halal and tayyib rozi, my Allah. Keep us plentiful, my Allah. Ya Allah, those who are in qaraz and debts, Ya Allah, help them fulfill the debts, my Allah. Ya Allah, whatever pareshani any person who has got, my Allah, you are well aware of our pareshanis, Ya Allah, remove our difficulties, my Allah. Give us afiyat, give us sukoon in our lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah, so many requested duas, my Allah. Grant them each one of them shifai kamil, ajil, mustaqil, daim. Protect us from sicknesses also, my Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Give them the highest of stages, Ya Allah. And grant the family sabr jameel. Ya Allah, give us mawt in iman, mawt in Madina Sharif, buried in jannatul baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hawdi kothur water, the hands of Nabiya Kareem, the blessed hands of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, make us enter jannat without any hisab kitab, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal, my Allah. Allah, make our children, our grandchildren, Ya Allah, the coolness of our eyes. Make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbuleen. Allah, grant us ikhlas and maqbuliyat. Protect us from all types of fitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all types of fitan, my Allah. Protect our iman, my Allah. Do not take away our iman, my Allah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين